Well, hello out there, and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Well, I have a very interesting guest today. He's a Calhouner now, but been there for a while. Welcome, Ernesto Cuevas. Welcome, Ernesto.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Ernesto, you've done a lot of things over the years.
Yeah, I've stayed busy.
Yeah, singer, songwriter, sniper, taxidermist, ran a restaurant. What else? What else? You got a long list.
Well, I mean, I worked at Olin Brasser for several years, but other than that, that's about it. You know, yeah. I do a lot of hunting, fishing, and
You kept busy.
Yeah.
And you're married.
Married.
Yes.
Married for 42 years.
Yeah. And you got a few children.
Got five.
Five children.
Five kiddos.
How old are they?
I got them running from 12, 14, 36, 40, 41.
Yes. You stayed busy.
Yes. Yes.
They've kept you young.
Yeah.
And you're living in Michael.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to backtrack a little bit. So, Ernesto, where'd you live? Where were you born?
I was born in Mansfield, Ohio.
Really?
Yes. And I was adopted.
Uh-huh.
My mother, believe it or not, abandoned me at birth or right around then.
Yeah.
And I was abandoned, and somebody had found me in a house of vacant home.
Yeah.
And I was taken to Catholic Charities, and I've stayed there I don't know how many months. But my parents, who adopted me, they are full-blooded Mexicans. My dad was Mexican.
Okay.
And my mom was Mexican, and I didn't look Mexican, you know.
You know, I was gonna say, you don't really look like a Cuevas.
No
or Ernesto.
No. And I always wondered, because you know, even growing up in our family portraits, I have a brother and a sister that were also adopted, that my parents had adopted, and they are full-blooded Mexican, and I look like my mom had cheated, you know.
Yeah.
In the family portraits. But, because here I had blonde hair, real light color hair, and everybody else got black and dark.
What did your parents do?
My dad used to work for DMAC, Defense Mapping Agency Aerospace Center.
Okay.
They're in St. Louis. He had a good government job. And my mother was a homemaker till we got older and through high school. And then she decided she wanted to go work and make herself a little bit of, just get out of the house and do something different.
But you grew up, you were in Ohio, but at some point in time.
Well, and from Ohio, I was adopted by my parents.
Oh.
And then we moved. They brought us to Illinois because that's where Dad's job took him, the government job.
Okay. I'll ask you this. As growing up, and you knew you were adopted from the get-go, right?
No.
You didn't?
I didn't know till I was probably 9, 10 years old. We had somebody came and knocked on our door one morning. I'll never forget. And I opened the door, and there was a guy standing there. Older guy, well, he was older than me. He looked like my brother.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, who's this? Well, he come in, and this guy was my adopted brother's real brother, biological brother, who had just went AWOL in the Navy to go look for all 17 of his siblings.
Oh, my goodness.
And my brother and sister were actually real brother and sister. None of us knew we were adopted.
I'll be darned.
Till then, that guy, you know. And my parents, for some reason, didn't want anybody to know that we were adopted.
I'll be darned.
But as soon as I found out, I couldn't wait to tell people, you know, which mom didn't like that too much. But, you know, at the time, I didn't really care.
You thought it was cool?
I thought it was cool. Man, I'm adopted. What are you, you know?
Yeah. Somebody actually really wanted me.
They wanted me, and they took me, you know.
They picked me up.
That's right. And, you know, I have since, I mean, just within the last 10 years, I found my biological family.
You have?
I searched for 30 years, and I finally had to hire a private investigator out of California, and she said I could find them. And I go, how long will it take? She says, 3 days.
Really?
And sure enough, she found them in 3 days.
So Did you go see them?
I've met them all. Actually, I just come back from Ohio, where they're at. They all live in that area, in Mansfield area. I have a sister that I'm really close to, and her son, her family. My mom, I met her. We don't really get along that great.
Okay.
You know? I mean, she denied me whenever I found her, and just lots of lies.
I see.
And so I just choose to.
Well, you were better off, weren't you?
I was better off. Even my sister, my biological sister, said, "You were so lucky," because evidently their upbringing wasn't the greatest, you know.
Yeah.
And my parents, they raised us right.
Yeah, you're fortunate.
I was very fortunate.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you go to Granite City, you live in Granite City, go to high school there, and then as a young man right out of high school, you go in the service, going to the Army.
I decided to join the military, yes. Well, my wife Patty had gotten pregnant, and my dad says, "Well, what are you going to do?" Well, first he says, "Who's Patty?" And I said, "Well, it's the gal I'm seeing, Dad." Okay, well, he didn't know which one, so. And he goes, "What are you going to do about it?" And I said, "Well, I guess I'm going to go in the military, so I have insurance." And so I go, "Okay." My dad was ex-military,
right,
himself, so that's what I did. I joined, and.
And you said you went in as a sniper?
I went in as 11 Bravo Grunt, and then I went through, you know, airborne school. I went through sniper school. I went through all that stuff.
Okay, just a little bit on being a sniper and being able to shoot accurately like that. What are kind of the ABCs, the basics of being a good shot?
To squeeze and don't pull. Squeeze and don't pull, you know. A lot of guys, you know, you even with friends of mine when they're shooting and I'm watching them trying to group a pattern, and there's times that I'll load their weapon for them. I'll say, "Okay, now just shoot," and they'll shoot and they'll jerk, and there would be no bullet in the chamber, but I'd set them up to see what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got to anticipate the fire. You got to be surprised when the gun goes off, you know.
Oh, that's with the squeeze.
You squeeze and be surprised.
And
like for the long shots, there's a thing called the Coriolis effect, how the earth is turning, and it actually does make a difference. You know, at a certain distance, 500-600 yards, the earth is turning, and actually it's turning fast enough where it'll throw your round off. So you gotta allow for all that, you know. There's quite a bit to it.
Yeah, I bet there is. Were you pretty good at it?
Yeah, I've set records.
Have you? Yeah. Do you hunt?
I hunt. Yeah. I went hunting yesterday. I had a small buck by me, but I didn't take him out. About four more years, it'd be nice.
So after that, you came back and you went to work for Olin.
Olin Brass. Yes. I started in there, and I was a caster and a assistant caster and a furnace builder, and I worked with some of the local Calhoun boys there. Oh, I don't know if you remember Don Funk.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Beanie Seamer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I used to work with those guys quite a bit. They're good friends of mine. Cool. I haven't seen them in quite a while, but I figured you'd remember them.
Oh yeah, I know. You know the funny thing about Calhoun, growing up there, I go back now, I can go back and I can see somebody, I go, look at him, go, "Who's your dad?" Or "Who's your mom?" I could just like, oh, I know you're a Ballman. I know you're a Seavers. I know you're Young or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
the Seavers. I could spot a Seavers a mile away.
Yeah.
And not even know him. I know you're a Seavers. They just.
Yeah.
No, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It's nice over there. I really enjoy Calhoun. That's, you know.
So
it's like you move to another state and you're still in the same.
Yeah.
So, I wish it was Missouri, to be honest with you.
Wish it was too. So you go to Olin, you work in Olin, and you're living on an island. And what happens in 93? You're living there on an island that's part of East Alton?
Or what it's is part that? Of Granite City. It's Shoto Island.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's right there, right by Granite City. And then 93 flood came. And
do they have a bridge going over to
there's
it?
There's a bridge going over. The Chain of Rocks Bridge is right there.
Okay. How big is the island?
It was, man, I'm thinking.
I'm just
I'm thinking it's 10 miles long.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking that something like that, 7 to 10 miles. But yeah, we got flooded and lost our home and everything there. So we thought, well, we went and lived with my in-laws for a short period till we were able to regroup and try to get some assistance, because we didn't have much money, you know. And then we were able to move up towards Grafton because I liked to duck hunt. And at the time, I was hunting with buddies of mine that lived in the Jersey County area, Calhoun area. And I thought, I want to get up there closer to them so I don't have to wake up so early to go. You know, I had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning just to be ready to go duck hunt in Calhoun or, yeah, you know, in Jersey County. And so we decided to move up to the hills of Grafton after the flood. And we were there for 27, 28 years.
Cool. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Ernesto Cuevas. And he's with us. He lives in Michael, Illinois now, but he's lived all over. So you moved to Grafton, and then you opened a restaurant.
We opened a restaurant. Well, yeah, and in 2008, we had the restaurant for exactly 1 year.
Oh,
built it and everything.
Yeah,
1 year. Then the flood, 2008 flood come.
Oh,
and boom, wiped us out. Everything I had invested, lost it. And we just couldn't do it again. I thought, well, we're not going to do it again. I had a partner, and me and him decided, well, we just, you know, it was a 100-year flood, and it just happened to hit us again, you know.
So then what happened? Where did we go?
Then we went back up in the hills there.
In Grafton?
In Grafton, and just stayed there, just kept living till.
I mean, what were you working
at? I wasn't working. I was done. I was already pretty well retired.
Okay.
I'm a disabled vet, you know, so I was able to keep doing what I'm doing, play music. Uncle Sam takes care of me pretty well. And
good.
Yeah.
So then you kind of got on to your music kick, right?
Well,
when you had time or what?
Yeah, yeah. I've been playing music for a long time, but when I got out of the Army is when I picked up the guitar. My dad played music. My dad, who raised me, and he played music, so I always knew the basic chords on a guitar, and then I started playing. I was originally a drummer for years, and I thought, well, it's a lot easier to carry a guitar to a party than a set of drums.
Yes, that's for sure.
So that's what I did, and then I just started writing songs. You know, I wrote a song from the '93 flood. I wrote a song called "River Run Me to the Hills." Took everything except the bills. And I wrote that from the flour mill right there in Alton.
Yeah.
I started writing it, and by the time I got to Grafton, I was done. I go, I got a song. And I recorded it, you know.
Yeah. And just before we get into some of your recordings, and just so people know, we'll be playing your music on the Local Vocals show, which plays on Monday night from 7 to 9. And in songwriting, you know, that's something that's always intrigued me. What's the basics, or what's a mindset when you go to write a song?
Well, you got to have a good hook, you know.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
You got to have a hook that they're going to remember.
You know, I knew what you're talking about. I didn't know you called it a hook.
It's a hook, kind of like Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah.
You know, I hate that song.
Yeah.
But everybody knows it. You know, right. Don't break my heart,
yeah,
my achy, you know, that's the hook.
Okay.
And
give me another hook.
Like River Run Me to the Hills. Or I got another song I wrote is called Where You Been. You know, where have you been, you know? And that's the hook.
And then your song, everything else comes around the hook.
Everything comes around that hook. A lot of times when I come up with my music, I have the music in my head first.
Yeah.
So I'll be driving down the road and I'll be, I'm thinking, well, I'm on something here. And then I'll go home and I'll play it on my guitar. And then I'll think, okay, I'll even ask my wife, hey, throw something at me. What should I write about? What, you know, cliches and you know, just anything. Like right now I'm in the process of writing a lullaby. I thought, I've never wrote a lullaby.
Yeah.
But everybody sings their baby. So I'm going to write, I'm in the process of writing this lullaby and go record it. You know, it sounds kind of corny, but I don't care. I mean, somebody's got to do it, right?
Something that I just got done with, and I'll show it to you after this interview, is, you know, the fact we want to do this local vocals, and so many people didn't have recordings. You know, like you said, you had to go down to Nashville to get a recording. So I put together a recording studio and got it here at the station.
And we
recorded Cash Gettin' was our first one that we just got done recording. We got some nice tunes from
him. Nice.
Yeah. So I'll show it to you. I always thought about one thing I was kind of wanting to do is, I'll give you the lead on this, but get some musicians together and let's write a song. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like, let's put it together, and we put it together, everybody joins in, and we produce something.
Yeah.
You know?
That reminds me, I was going to try to write a song with a guy that I met through a friend of mine in Fairview Heights. His name's Greg Downen. I'm going to throw him a plug there. But a buddy of his, which I met through him, we got to be pretty good friends, you know, and I talked to him one day on the phone, or not on the phone, but online. We were email or messaging each other, and I said, hey, we need to write a song together. Because I knew he liked writing songs, and I do too. I go, let's collaborate one. You know, I go, you write a verse, I write a verse. And he says, I don't want to do that. I'm tired of people stealing my stuff. I'm thinking, wow, it just kind of, I couldn't believe it. I got my own stuff. I got plenty. I just thought it'd be neat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so too.
To collaborate with somebody and see what you end up with. And he kind of lost it. He blew a gasket over it. I don't know. I haven't heard from him anymore.
Hey, well, tell us about, I know you got into music pretty heavy, and then you went down to Nashville to A-OK Records.
A-OK Records. It's Hilltop Records there, yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that experience.
Oh, it's neat. You know, you get in there, and they chart your music. So, like, that means the music I send them, and I got to actually sit there and watch what they do. They'll have somebody listen to the music. And then they'll chart it, and the way they charted it, it's really strange. It's a whole different language on writing, you know, the way they write it on the paper. And then they'll hand it to each musician that's sitting in this big room.
How many musicians?
There might be four or five.
Yeah.
And
they just hang there. That's their job.
That's their job.
Okay.
And they'll sit there, and then they say, okay, let's play it. And they'll play that song, my version of it, and these guys will hear it. One time, and then they play it, and it just blew my mind that they played it like they've played it 100 times. I couldn't believe it. And then they're ready for the next one, and that's what they do all day.
Isn't that crazy?
You're talking about the best musicians around. It made me want to throw my guitar away. They're so good. I'm not kidding you. You know, a guy that did the producing, his name's Adam Knight. And he's got a really good gig going there. He's got best musicians around. I'm not kidding you. And being Nashville on top of that, you know.
Right. So how many songs do you have out? How many songs have you
I've got, produced? I don't know, I think I got 25.
Really?
Yeah.
25.
25 that are recorded.
Okay.
But I got a bunch. I got a lot more than that. I just haven't recorded them all. The last one I did one here in Alton. The studio there in Alton, and I don't know if you know John Mondine.
Is it Lighthouse Studios?
Lighthouse Studios.
Uh-huh, yes.
But old John Mondine, he plays in the Soulard Blues Band, and he's a real well-known musician in the Alton area. He played on that, and then another buddy of mine, Paul Riccervina, he played the percussion in it, and then they brought in a gal with the violin. I can't remember her name. But we hired her to play the that's my Me Maria song, and it really turned out nice.
Uh-huh.
It's not a Nashville production, but it really turned out. I like it. I like it a lot.
Cool. So your songs that you have out there, are they getting played anywhere on radio?
Yeah, they're being played in other states. I haven't heard them, but I'm told they're being played anyway. And I have music videos on YouTube. So a lot of my songs do have a video that goes with them, you know.
Now, have you been, and do you have your own band that you played with?
I had a band. I haven't played out in about a year. We just took a break. I wanted to take a break, and I had a lot of stuff going on. I'd bought a restaurant in Hardin. I bought the Subway.
You did.
I bought the Subway restaurant, and I gave that a spin for a while, and it just wasn't my gig. It wasn't doing what I wanted it to do, so I went ahead and shut her down. So I didn't have time to really go play music because I was trying to keep that thing going.
Uh-huh.
And but I'm about ready to get started again.
But you're doing taxidermy work too.
I do taxidermy. That's my hobby. Okay. You know, I do. I like putting animals together.
Yeah,
I've done that for a long time.
Yeah, I know that's this. You got plenty of work ahead of you.
This is that time of year. Whatever I want, and the beauty of it is, I don't do it for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So I could just take what I want, when I want, you know, if I feel like it. If they don't bring them to me, I don't really care, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, you know what? It's been really good having you in the studio. We're looking forward to listening to your music. And people, tune in Monday nights, listen to local vocals. You'll hear some of Ernesto's work along with so many of the other local musicians and entertainers that we have. We got a talented group around here. I have just been blown away.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of good talent in the area. You know, people just need to get out and support the local bands, and you know, because you know you got to. You know, otherwise it's going to die off. You know.
Yeah. Well, any last words of wisdom that you want to throw out to the listeners?
No, just you know, if you want to play music, write a song, just do it. You know, don't. There's really no set theory on how to do it. Just do it. Make it singable, you know. Mm-hmm. It's got to sing.
Tell
a
story.
You
want
to rhyme.
Right?
Try to tell a story without a whole lot of words and rhyming. You know, you want to make stuff rhyme.
Yeah, it's got to rhyme.
It's got to rhyme. Otherwise, it's just, you know, yeah. You might as well just talk it, you know.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you having me on today.
Oh, I loved it.
I can't
loved
wait to... Hear you play some of my stuff. Anyway.
I know, we will. So thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you,
Chris.
Have
a great day.
You too, thank you.